Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. In this episode, we look at some film noir created outside of the United States. I hope you enjoy the show. Today, I'd like to consider the word film noir. It would be perfectly sensible to link this term with the American cinema, but the fact is that it's a style that became popular around the world, and there are many, many fine examples of film noir that came from other countries. So here's a few you might be interested in. The first one's called It Happened in Broad Daylight, and was made in Germany in 1956 by a director called Ladislaw Vajda. It's a story of a police detective investigating a string of child murders in the Swiss countryside. He's got a theory about who's responsible, and he goes undercover to test it out. It's a fantastically gripping film, and Gert Frobe, who you may remember as Goldfinger in the James Bond movie, he gives a chilling performance as the killer. And in fact, it was this performance in this film that got him the part in Goldfinger. And Michel Simon gives a great cameo performance near the beginning as a possible suspect being interrogated. This film was remade by Sean Penn in 2001 with Jack Nicholson in the starring role, and it was called The Pledge, but they changed the story a bit. There was a film called No Orchids for Miss Blanchard, made in 1948, and it was, interestingly enough, a British attempt to try to make a US no-nonsense tough guy thriller. And it featured strong violence and implied rape, and which was almost unheard of at the time. And Dillis Powell, who was the film critic of The Times, wanted it to be given a D category for disgusting. Although it was made in Britain, it was set in America, and the cast and production crew, everything was completely British, apart from the lead part, which is played by Jack LaRue. And he's a gangster that kidnaps an heiress and then falls in love with her. Interesting enough, he played a similar role a bit earlier in 1933 in a film called The Story of Temple Drake. LaRue is really good in this role, and some people likened him to Humphrey Bogart. And his career in the 1930s involved playing a lot of mean hoodlums, often losing out on castings to Bogart and to George Raft. Now, in this film, unbelievably, Sid James appears as a New York barman with a very, very dodgy American accent. It was based on a James Hadley Chase novel, and Robert Altman remade it as The Grissom Gang in 1971. And now we're going to go to Argentina, where in 1952, The Beast Must Die was made. It was based on a novel written by Daniel Day-Lewis's father, Cecil Day-Lewis. The plot, a man's son is killed in a hit-and-run accident, and after suffering terribly, he gets a clue as to who's responsible and goes after him. And he just happens to be a writer of thrillers, the father. It's well directed, director's name Roman Vinoli Barreto, and a great cast. It was remade in France in 1969 by Claude Chabrol, and he called it The Man Must Die and changed the plot slightly. There's another hit and run in Death of a Cyclist, which was a Spanish film from 1955. And that starred the lovely Lucia Bose as a married woman who's having an affair. And when she's out with a lover, they knock down and kill a cyclist. And then they constantly living in fear of exposure of their affair. They're more worried about the affair than they are about the crime. And obviously it was made in the atmosphere of Franco Spain at the time. And it's well drawn. The characters are beautifully observed. And the director was J.A. Bardem, who was the uncle of Javier Bardem.
Stay!
So in Italy, in 1948, a director called Pietro Germi made Lost Youth, which is a study of a fascinating study of a cold-blooded killer. And this cold-blooded killer is very reminiscent of Patricia Highsmith's Ripley character. An actor called Jacques Cernas plays the killer. And the film has really got a great plot. And it's well photographed. And it's got a great score and a great cast. So one not to be missed. Six writers contributed to writing the screenplay for Lost Youth, and one of them was called Enzo Provenzale, who himself directed just one film, but it was a very good one. It was an Italian noir in 1960 called Vento del Sud, Wind of the South, and it starred Claudia Cardinale and Rinto Salvatori. And Salvatore plays a young Sicilian worker who is told by the mafia to go and murder a nobleman. But at the last minute, he decides not to do it. And so he flees with the nobleman's daughter, played by Cardinale. But they're pursued by the family and the mafia, of course. And in those circumstances, only tragedy can occur. Meanwhile, over in France, Louis Malle made Lift to the Gallows in 1958. This is a very interesting noir. An employee who is seeing his boss's wife plots to kill him in his office on a Friday night and then elope with the wife. But unfortunately for him, the lift that he's going down in the build to get out of the building, it gets stuck. And so he's got to stay there the whole weekend. Meanwhile, the wife is waiting for him outside and doesn't know what's going on and starts thinking the worst about him, thinking he's gone away and left her. So it's full of misunderstandings and a great plot. Jean Moreau and Maurice René star in this one. And it's quite a fascinating ride it takes you on. Now, Miles Davis provided a great score for this, and it was all recorded in a single night in a studio. And worth noting also that it was Louis Malle's first feature film.
Thank you.
A couple of years later, a director called Claude Sauté made Classe to Risque with Lino Ventura about a criminal on the run in the south of France. And a young Jean-Paul Belmondo is sent to deliver him to Paris, but he doesn't quite understand what the reason is for this young man coming to help him get to Paris. There's obviously an ulterior dark motives. It's great character development in this movie, and the camera work is great too. And it really is one of the outstanding French noir thrillers. It's worth remembering that at the time the French New Wave was happening, and this is a real old school type movie. So it was very brave for Sauté to make such a film. Now, in 1961, there's a great noir made in Finland, believe it or not. It's called The Scarlet Dove, and it was directed by Matti Kasila. There's a doctor holidaying with his family at their summer villa, and the postman delivers a letter, which he intercepts, and it's to his wife, but it's from another man, and he just can't believe that she's being unfaithful to him. So he sets out to follow her when she takes a trip to the city and to try to find out what's going on. It's very well put together, this, and it builds nicely to a great climax, unexpected climax. And it was the final film of the actor that plays the Doctor, Tauno Palo. Casting is spot on, and the pacing is very, very good in this film. The idea came to the director in a dream he had one night. Thank you. Japan was also able to create a film noir or two, and I'd like to point you in the direction of one called Crazed Fruit in 1956. Great title. And it was directed by Ko Nakahira. And the story is about two brothers who hang out at the beach with their friends. And one of them meets a girl. He falls for her and then introduces her to his friends and his brother. And slowly but surely, his brother falls for her too. Unfortunately for both of them, she's got a backstory of her own that they would never have guessed in a million years. This is a fascinating film about life in post-war Japan, a world that's embracing American culture. And this generation of kids, they're disenchanted, growing up, with great uncertainty about the future. Me Kitihara plays the femme fatale, and she's very good as she ensnares the brothers and plays them against each other. François Truffaut really loved this film. And the author of the source novel, Shintaro Ishihara, became the mayor of Tokyo for a while. How about that? Me Kitihara ended up marrying the actor that played the elder brother in this film, Yujiro Ishihara. back to Germany for one of the most groundbreaking films, film noirs ever made, called M, just the letter M for mother, by Fritz Lang. It's about a child murder in Berlin, and it's played superbly by Peter Lorre. It's made in 1931. Now, this film has everything in spades. Fritz Lang said it was his favourite film that he made. Minimal script, and yet so effective. He'd had two flops just before this film, one called Girl in the Moon, and then, can you believe it, a film called Metropolis? Can you imagine? That was a flop when it first came out. Peter Lorre, interestingly enough, had just been known as a comedy actor prior to making this, and Lang treated him really badly during the filming, and he refused to work with him ever again. It was so shocking at the time that even the Nazis banned the film, and it sat in a vault for over 30 years unseen. Peter Lorre and Fritz Lang, they were both Jewish, and they fled Nazi Germany to go to America soon after this film was made. It used some of the first sound cameras that were ever made. And so large parts of the film are shot without sound due to the high cost of these newfangled sound cameras. So this film is something you should really see if you're interested in the development of film. Joseph Losey remade the film in 1951 and took the story and placed it in America. And surprisingly enough, it's pretty good. And he had Laszlo Kovacs in charge of photography for that. The last film I'd like to tell you about is a British noir, and it's set in the East End of London, made in 1947. It's called It Always Rains on Sunday, great title, and it starred Googie Withers and John McCullum. And there's nothing American about this one. It's about a guy who escapes from prison and then goes to look up his old girlfriend in Bethnal Green in London for help. She's got married while he's been inside jail, and she's got a family and a respectable life. So she's really cut up about whether to help him or not. It's very well put together. Director Robert Hamer, It was put out by Ealing Studios, which is surprising because they were chiefly known for their comedies at the time. So Googie Withers and McCullum, they first met when they made this film, and they were married soon afterwards. A bit of romance for you on the film set. The East End accents may get on your nerves a bit, but put that aside, and it's a great script, and it's worth watching. Now, in my humble opinion, I think film noir has to be in black and white. A lot of people will disagree with that. I think the medium, it lends itself perfectly to create those dark, tight atmospheres in which those doomed characters can play out their destinies. I mean, colour just doesn't have the same possibilities in my mind. I mean, perhaps that's why when colour films came out, it was the end of the film noir genre. But nevertheless, the power of the American noir films spread all over the world. They were so successful. And that's why most of these non-US film noirs were made in the 50s and the early 60s. It's also worth remembering that Fritz Lang, together with other German directors who pioneered groundbreaking cinematography, like Michael Curtis, they all fled to America when the Nazis took control in Germany. And they were the ones that were responsible for creating the film noir genre in America. Well, I hope you get a chance to see some of these films, and thanks for listening.
I can't remember when you were there, when I didn't care for anyone but you. I swear we've been through everything there is. Can't imagine anything we've missed. Can't imagine anything the two of us can't do. Through the years, you've never let me down. You've turned my life around. The sweetest days I've found with you. Through the years, I've never been afraid. I've loved the life we've made, and I'm so glad I stayed right here with you through the years. I can't remember what I used to do, who I trusted, who I listened to before. I swear you've taught me everything I know. Can't imagine needing someone so. But through the years it seems to me I need you more and more. Through the years, through all the good and bad, I know how much we had. I've always been so glad to be with you. As long as it's okay, I'll stay with you through the years. Through the years when everything went wrong, together we were strong. I know by loving you through.